All right, everybody. Hey, it's Taylor back from another episode of Malaprops and Moxie. I am bringing you a topic that has nothing to do with coronavirus. We're taking a break from that. And this is something that hopefully will bring you some joy. Maybe you can live vicariously through me, or maybe, I don't know, maybe this will motivate you to go do something crazy, which is living and working abroad. My guest is a good friend of mine. Her name is Renee. She'll introduce herself in just a minute. But after college, we decided to move to another country, and today's episode is all about what that was like. So Renee, tell the folks at home who you are, what you do, anything you want.
Hi guys, I am Renee. I have known Taylor since I was, I think, 16 years old. She was 17 years old, and we are now well into our 30s. I live in Nashville with my husband Matt and my orange cat named Steve, and I work on a creative team at a music licensing company. And I also have a podcast called Best Friends Club. So we'll tell you more about that later.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's me.
Oh my gosh, Renee, I didn't even think to mention how long we've known each other. Like, it has been
forever.
A minute. Definitely.
Forever. I still remember where we met.
I want to say, was it at like KO at church, or was
it
somewhere else?
It was at the skating rink when our friend's band was playing.
Oh my gosh, I remember that.
And I brought Jess with me because her brother was playing, and you went to school with her brother.
So. It was an emo band, and we were at skating rink, and we thought we were cool as shit.
So cool. Thought we were. We definitely were.
Pretty sure I had a
choker.
Hemp choker on with a seashell that I found at the beach.
100%. 100% accurate.
Okay, so that's great. So people, like, we've known each other since high school. And then obviously after high school, you go to college. Renee and I went to college across the state of Florida from each other. And so we would make frequent trips to each other's living places. And then the recession happened because we were graduating in like 07, 08. And Renee, you were the one who brought this to my attention. So how did you find BUNAC, and like, where did this all start?
Okay, so my senior year of college, which was 07-08, and I was set to graduate spring of 08, I studied abroad in London my fall semester, fall 2007. So I studied abroad. There were 16 of us. It was super fun. It was completely pivotal. It changed my life in the least dramatic, like, I don't want that to sound dramatic, but it really did change my life. Like, it opened my eyes. Like, I knew I wanted to travel, but it never really, I don't know, I'd never made any moves to do it. So studying abroad was foundational. And I mean, if you are out there and you are in college or you're in that season of life, I would highly recommend studying abroad, even if that means going to a different state for school for a semester.
Retweet.
It just really gets you out of your comfort zone. And it's a really cool time because you'll never be able to do that again, most likely. So anyway, I studied abroad and I was completely in love with it. I came back and did my spring semester. And while I was in my spring semester, I learned about this company called BUNAC. And the reason I found them is because I really wanted to figure out a way to go back to London. And what's funny is that when I was listening to Taylor's very first episode of Malaprops and Moxie, she was talking about how her friend just called her out of the blue and asked her if she wanted to move to London with no job and no money and no plans. And I was like, oh my gosh, that was me. Yes. And looking back on it now, it just sounds so ridiculous to think that I was just like, hey, I'm going to go move to London. You want to come?
You know what? It's funny that you bring that up. Like, I mean, we definitely had like a really good friendship, and I would say that we were really good at like adventuring together, even if it was going to West Palm or going to Fort Myers or whatever. So thank God that you had enough curiosity inside of you to be like, I don't know, maybe Tayflo want to come. Like,
no,
thank God.
You're a yes friend.
Yes.
And so I was like, even if she can't do it, she's a person that might actually, whereas a lot of other people I know are like, oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. I totally want to do that. And then like, we'll never make any moves.
Yeah.
I knew you would at least, it would pique your interest. You would see if it was a possibility and that
100%.
You might actually come. So I think I genuinely asked like 5 people and 2 of you came. So it worked.
Yes. And I remember when I pitched the idea to my sister, because fun fact, I took longer to graduate than just 4 years. Sorry, Mom. But I was like, Sarah, my sister, I'm like, Sarah, this is something that I think I'm going to do. My friend Renee, who you know, is like going to do it too. So like, would you want to come with? And this girl, she is so practical and so rational. And like, she had this bomb internship in college. And so she had like kind of a job lined up ish. And I don't know how I convinced her to come, but like yeah, like I if you think I'm a yes person, she is like the opposite of that. She's like the no, because she's thinking of
you
all
guys
the reasons.
Are the yin and the yang.
Totally, 100%. But yeah, so we applied for visas, and the only thing we needed was graduation.
We needed to have either still been in college or we have graduated within 6 months. Mm-hmm. That was rule number one.
Check.
Rule number two is I think you had to have like $2,000 saved. Mm-hmm. It was a pretty low amount of money when I think about moving to another country with absolutely no prospects. And I think that was it. Just maybe proof that you're not a serial killer.
A passport.
A passport, yeah. So we saved our $2,000 and they were like, sure, here's a visa. Go live in another country.
You don't need anything else.
You don't need anything else. And what was really unique about that time, I don't know if you remember this, Taylor, but when we got our visas, it was fall 2008.
Yeah.
Actually, we got them in the summer.
Yeah.
What was cool about them is that they didn't start until you entered the country.
Right.
And then they were good for up to 6 months.
Right.
But what was unique about when we went is that they stopped giving out the visas that September.
I remember
so
that.
We tucked it in right under the wire. And once November 1st happened, we could no longer leave the country without coming back as a tourist. We wouldn't have been able to work when we came back. So I basically found this company and apparently just tried to solicit all my friends. Like when Taylor was like explaining, I was just thinking, I'm such a psycho. Like I can't believe that I was ever this carefree in life, but man,
I'm grateful.
I'm
grateful.
Be that girl again.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So let's fast forward a little bit. We get to the country and I think I teased it in my intro episode. So if you've never listened to it, I was talking about how we were going through customs and the customs people were like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, I have a work visa. And he's like, okay, cool. Like, where are you working? And then I'm like, I don't know yet. And he's like, what? Where are you living? I don't know. Like, so sketchy. So
sketchy.
Yeah. Like, okay. So we got there. And one memory that I do want to share briefly is that, you know, we were talking about this before we started recording. We were cheap and we made no money. So
we are already cheap people.
Right.
We were completely broke and homeless and jobless in another country. So frugality was a good trait to have.
I remember like somebody told us how much a taxi was going to be from Heathrow to our like hostel. And it was honestly, it was probably like £30. And I remember thinking like, that's way too much. We're going to lug these gigantic checked suitcases. Me and my sister both had two through the London tunnel, like tube system. And what a struggle. I was sweating. I'm pretty sure I like broke like both of my shoes. Like it was horrible. Horrible.
Yeah. Memory. And present day 2020, I'm a grown ass woman. With a big girl job and a husband and a house and everything. And every time we go somewhere, my husband wants to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I was like, listen, I am not going to New York anymore and taking the train from LaGuardia into Brooklyn because you have to be on the train for like 2 hours. I'm like, I'm not doing it. We're spending the $30 on the cab. Like, we're just doing it.
It's funny what you'll like do when you got money, you know?
When you have enough money to go around, yeah. But yeah, I mean, this is also coming from the girl who went to a trip on Morocco in her study abroad, and there were 10 of us. And rather than taking two taxis to the airport, we walked 4 miles at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my God.
With nothing more than a map. You know, when you get like a brochure for a Mexican restaurant and there's like 3 lines of streets and a star, that's what we were going off of.
Oh, jeez.
In a country that is not an English speaking country.
Yeah.
A very sketchy place to be wandering around by yourself at 4 a.m. But we got it. We got there.
You know what?
We saved our $3 each.
That's right. Cheapness and ignorance is bliss, I will say.
It is bliss.
Okay, so we lived not too close together. I got a place in zone 2. You had a place in zone 1. Mm-hmm. Very small quarters. I shared a room, literally one bedroom with my sister and our closet was a kitchen, kind of, and we shared a bed and we shared a dresser. and we shared a bathroom with the rest of the house. You and Tiffany had a smaller situation.
Oh my gosh. Our room, I think, was half the size of yours.
Oh, 100%. It was absolutely half.
We can get some photos if you want to post them, Taylor. Yes. But if you can imagine being in a bunk bed, imagine yourself in a twin bunk bed that is wedged into the corner and sticking your arm out and being able to open your mini fridge from your bed with no effort, because that's the kind of space we were working with. I'm not exaggerating when I say I think it was like 25 square feet.
No, you're right, because I remember coming over to visit y'all, and we couldn't even fit four people inside the room.
No, we could sit like where our dresser was when you first walked in the door. Four people could sit on the floor there, but that's it.
I think I remember having tea over at your place on the floor. I do on remember that.
We didn't have any chairs. There were no chairs. There wasn't like, oh, a cute little kitchenette table. No, nothing. Just a bunk bed and a counter and the floor.
That was good memes.
You know what? I love that place so much.
I know, right?
I could live there forever.
Would never change it. Well, okay. So I remember, I got a job at Westminster Abbey. My sister ended up working for Savage London.
Clothing.
He was crazy town.
Just crazy.
Tiffany had all the jobs. Like,
she had all the jobs.
She had a job every week. And then you, tell us where you got a job.
I worked at Quiksilver because I'm a super cool surf girl.
And you're from Florida. Like, so it was like so typical how that happened.
But what's funny is that the reason I got that job is because in West Palm Beach, where I went to college, I worked at a surf shop. And we had a Quiksilver rep. And when I told her I was moving to London, she was like, oh, I know the regional manager or something like that, of the London like regional stores. And so she emailed her and I got an interview, and that's how I got my job. Cause I applied to a bunch of other places and didn't actually get a job.
I was going to ask, how long did it take you to get that job? Like a week or?
I went a whole month without actually working. The first month I didn't work.
What?
So I started at the beginning of October, and we arrived, like, we went Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, because Sarah and I got there a month before you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a week to find my job. And it took Sarah, like, 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I had gotten the job, but I just didn't start.
Okay.
So I think I had an interview, like, the second week, I mean. But I was actually going to work at this little paper store. Mm-hmm. But they were only going to be able to give me like one day a week. And I was like, I can't. It was a lot closer to my house.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay. And I had so much fun working at Quiksilver. It was so
I know.
Much fun.
And we made the big bucks. How much was our hourly income?
I made $6.25 an hour.
Which I'm not going to lie. I was just going to say, like, if we were in the U.S., that'd be great. Because the pound was double the dollar at that point, because the American economy was absolute trash.
Yep.
But living in London is so expensive.
Right. Well, and people used to say like, oh, but how much is that here? I'm like, listen, it doesn't matter how much it is at home, because I have to pay rent in pounds. I have to buy my food in pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So like I was saying to Taylor, my check, they pay monthly there. And my check was like just under £1,000 a month. My rent was like $375.
You still have to like... For the shared closet.
$75 each, right. That's important. So it was seven something for the two of us. And you still got to take the train to work. You still have to like top up your cell phone and pay your electric. And we were not living on much. We had a lot of fun. So
let's talk about the fun. So we found jobs. We found a place to live. Yada, yada. All is well.
Yada, yada.
Some of our favorite memories. We were talking earlier about going to Tesco and just buying like cheap food and... I remember, yes, they're so good. Custard creams. Got to give a shout out to Sarah with
your
custard creams.
I love the bourbon creams. Those are my favorite.
Those are really good.
I still love those so much.
I remember also spending a lot of my money on 2 liters of like cider, Strongbow cider. Do you remember those?
Oh my gosh. Yes. 2 liters of Strongbow that we would drink like on the bus.
They were what? Like $3 for a 2 liter of alcohol.
So cheap. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
I think that's one thing that I don't think I'll ever drink again is Strongbow.
Agreed. Yeah, because we were talking about there's some things when you are in a season of life where you have to do something because you can't really afford to do other things, like eat egg and cress sandwiches or get 2 liters of Strongbow. Mm-hmm. And they can either be in the I love this and it's always going to be a sentimental thing I love, or in the I'm never going to eat that again. And I agree with you, Strongbow cider. I don't even think I could take a sip of cider.
Whoa, I know. It kind of gives me those goosies.
It's so sweet and like – Oh, no. I feel the same about Red Bull and vodkas, because those are always the, like, 1 pound drinks.
Yes.
That people would buy, like, a round of. And I'm like, well, I'm drinking whatever someone else is paying for. So I can't drink Red Bull or vodka, really.
Mm. Our friend worked at this restaurant, and she was pouring us drinks, and she had no idea what to do. But I think I remember getting a lot of free alcohol that night, because she was just like, I'm just going to pretend like I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure she worked there like 3 nights and then was like, yeah, I can't do this.
I know. But we do have a really fun night that we experienced. And I'm going to try to remember, because it's been a decade now since we've been there. But did we know about Gordon's, or do we just happen upon that place? I feel like we just happened upon it.
I think we just happened upon it. I don't actually remember. Or someone – I don't know who would have told us about it, though.
Well, the reason –
basically –
well, the only reason why I was going to say I think we happened upon it is because of what I was wearing that night. I still had my work uniform on. And I feel like if somebody told us to go to this, like, awesome, bougie, cool wine bar, I would have maybe worn something else. But I was definitely still in my work uniform.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't remember what I was wearing.
Well, we've got pictures. So
we
I
do. Could... I think I was wearing regular clothes, which other men I didn't work that day, or... I'd gotten off early, which is doubtful. But yeah, we did go to Gordon's Wine Bar, which I still love that too.
Yes, I've been back again, and it definitely doesn't have the same kind of like excitement around it, just because like I think that night was so special. It is still a cool place to go. And so for those of you who weren't there, because that was none of you except for if Tiffany and Sarah are listening, we happened upon this tiny little door off the side of the street near the embankment tube stop, and we see this sign that says wine bar. We're like, okay, let's try it out. So we like open the door, we look down, and these steps are like super steep, leading into this like dark basement looking thing.
Yeah, they're like decrepit stone stairs.
Right, like you kind of have to like hold onto the wall on either side while you're walking down, or else you're going to like topple forward. And so we get to the bottom of the stairs, and what do we see? I want you to describe it.
Oh, I'm like, I mean, so it's basically like a cave. Like you are literally just underground in a cave, and there are no overhead lights. It's all candlelight. And there's a tiny little bar, and then all these tiny little crooked tables that have probably been there for like 60 or 70 or 80 years. And then they have a random buffet, which you can pay for, which is so random. But yeah, basically you just order wine, and we tucked ourselves in the back.
This is what happened. We couldn't find a table because it was like packed.
That's right.
And
it
was so
crowded.
Right. Because it was four of us, we were like, okay, let's divide and conquer. So like, you posted up on like the north side. I was on the west side, you know, scattered. And we're like, okay, whoever finds a table first, like give the signal, like ca-ca, and then we'll like all go running.
That's right.
I remember, I don't know who found the table, but I remember one of us like gave the signal of like, we found one. And it was because we were invited to sit with another group that was this like fancy, it was like a nook.
With like a gate.
It was like a gate. Yeah. And they were at this like banquet table with like candles lit. And
that's right. And tons of food.
Yes. Champagne bottles
tons
out the walls.
Yep.
And then like little did we know, it was the owner or the brother of the owner of the place. And this like saxophone player with sunglasses on. I'm like, sir, it is dark as night in here. How are you?
So dark in there.
So dark. And this kid's wearing friggin' circle sunglasses.
And by kid, you mean 65-year-old man.
I think I sat on his lap that night. Oops.
I think you might have, but I think that was all the free champagne talking.
Dude, that was one of the best nights of my life. Still to this day.
It was so much fun.
Oh my gosh. It was
so much fun. And I think you can really appreciate things like that, especially in that season of life, because we did not have a lot of extra. We were having a lot of fun, but there was no way we would have bought like nice bottles of wine and like as many appetizers as we wanted. We were like, where is a meal deal and can we split it?
I was just going to say, we'd probably get one glass of wine and like share it between the four of us.
Right. Or have gone somewhere where we could have brought our $2 bottle of cider.
Yes, our 2 liter. Just chugged it before. You know what? That actually reminds me. So I turned 24 while we were living abroad, and the night that we went out for my birthday, we went to the Moose Lodge. Do you remember that?
I vaguely remember getting there because I had a traumatic earlier evening.
Renee got locked inside of her establishment, her work establishment on my birthday. But that's okay. You made it out.
I was already stressed about being, I knew I was going to be late because I had to work until 9. Mm-hmm. And so I was like rushing to get out of there, but I wanted to change my clothes. And then when I came downstairs, I was locked inside. Everybody had left without me. They thought I left, but I went upstairs to change and I got locked inside.
And that was when we were like having to pay for every minute and every text on our phone. Yes. So you had to like use them so sparingly to communicate.
Yep. Oh my gosh. Well, it was horrible.
Do you remember we like left and we were trying to be frugal about the alcohol we were drinking, and granted we were all over 21, thank you very much. And we went to a Tesco and bought like mini bottles of wine and tried to like sneak them. Do you remember this? And we were like drinking them as we were like waiting to go into places.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I remember, because I remember being like, well, the drinks are too expensive inside, so let's just go to a Tesco, buy some red wine, and chug it. And they were in those little like cups with like the so gross.
Yeah, so gross. Like, it's just vinegar, really.
The body needs to forgive me for what I've done to it in my earlier years.
But we were young enough to overcome.
Heck yes. I was just going to say, hangovers were like not a thing back then.
I know. Now that would floor me if I drank that crappy
wine. Oh, I'd be sick as a dog.
I would be dead.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, 100%. Okay, so I'm trying to think of, do we travel anywhere together? I know that it was hard because of our work and stuff, but.
Mm-hmm. We went to Cambridge.
I do remember Cambridge.
You know what's really funny is I only remembered that we went to Cambridge once I got back to Cambridge. I was like, I've never been here before. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I have been here before.
Yeah.
But we only went up for the day and then we came back because they were lighting all the Christmas lights, you remember? That was the same day.
Oh my gosh, yeah, and like the alleys. Regent Street. Yes.
And they had like, I can't remember, but they were like musical performances and we like got really close, but we wanted to be back for that, so we didn't get to do that. I don't know if we went anywhere else though.
Did we go to Brighton Beach together or was that me and Tiffany? I can't remember.
I went to Brighton Beach, but I don't think I went with you.
Oh, God. See, and that's the thing. Like, I think when I first said yes to this, and I'm not saying I regret it at all, but we talk about malaprops in real life, like what you think you're signing up for and then what it actually ends up being. Like, the idea and the romanticized idea of living and working abroad, you're like, I'm going to hang out with my friends all the time. We're going to like travel together. And then it was like, skirt. No, you're working 40 hours a week. You get 2 days off. It might not be the same 2 days as your friends. Right. And you can't just like request off all the time. Like, this was not studying abroad. This was like legit work abroad. And I remember thinking like,
and also minimum wage.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Seriously. Like paying out the wazoo for rent and then not being able to do as much. Yeah. That if there was one thing that I would advise people, if you're studying abroad, go, because you have way more time on your hands work abroad. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And you know what's funny too is that I traveled a ton when I studied abroad. Mm-hmm. And so when I went back, part of the reason I wanted to go back was actually spend more time in London, because I feel like I didn't spend as much time
in
London.
Well, look at you. And then you definitely did that.
So you definitely did, because actually Tiff and I went to Paris the last weekend in October, because like I said, as of November 1st, our visas were no longer able to leave the country. So we went to Paris that weekend, but that's the only time I left the country the whole time we were there. And I don't know.
I think me and Sarah, we went to Scotland. We went to Paris. Oh, that's right. We met up with my mom in Paris. How random is that? We went
awesome.
Yeah.
Your mom's so cool.
My mom is cool. Shout out
to
Trey Flo.
She's always been cool.
I know. She really is. She's the coolest.
I love her.
I feel like I talk about her in almost every episode.
Because she's awesome.
I know. We went to Paris for 24 hours. Oh, we took the Channel. That was the longest trip of my freaking life. Goodness.
Oh my gosh. I love the Channel.
I know, but like when you know you're only going to spend like a day and a half in another country, we spent so much time getting there.
Yeah.
That it was tough. But
you know what though? You still probably spent less time than you would have if you flew.
That's probably true.
You get to the airport, you have to get there so early, and like the flight and getting through customs on the other side,
Yeah.
The Channel really is slick.
Yep. I remember, when the time was rearing its end, I like wanted to apply for a visa extension. Mm-hmm. And because of the American economy, they were making it super hard for Americans to get like, a visa. And like, gosh, I don't know. I remember getting the form that's like, you don't qualify and da da da. And
yeah.
I don't know. I think that like, if I could go back and do it all over again, I probably would have tried harder to get some sort of like career type internship or something that was a little less like retail. You know, I mean, I worked at a bookshop, for God's sakes. There's like you did not have to learn how to do anything. Not discounting people who work in retail. I'm just saying that like it was easier to get that type of job. And I think if I could go back, I would have spent a little more time maybe doing research.
Yeah, I tried really hard to stay too. I tried to get European citizenship because my grandfather was born in Italy.
I remember this. Yes.
I went to the European consulate and see if I could get citizenship through my grandfather who was born in Italy, but because my mom didn't, I couldn't. And then I tried to marry my neighbor who I told could date whoever he wanted. I just need the paperwork because we lived in the same building. We had the same address. It would have been easier to prove that we were like, quote unquote, in a relationship. But I'm glad now that I didn't do that because, you know, same. It's just probably not worth it.
Oh my gosh. The things we'll do to like get away from normalcy.
I know. Oh I know.
All right. Well, is there any last minute memory that you want to share about our time in the UK? Anything that, I don't know.
We had a lot of fun. I still feel like we did so much great stuff. Like we would go on picnics and like, I just wandering around London is the best. If you ever have the chance to just wander London with no agenda, it really is the best. It's the best city in the world, I think. So
I 110% agree. It was a pivotal time. And I think no matter how old you are, there is something to learn about yourself when you're in a place that requires you to kind of get out of your comfort zone. You know,
totally.
even though it was an English-speaking country, it was a healthy economy. I just feel like we were able to really grow and learn, and we probably made weird and bad decisions. But like, I know that I would not be who I am or where I am today had I not gone to London because you asked me one day when we were seniors in college. Appreciate ya.
I'm so glad you came. Thanks for coming. It was great. It really was more fun to have friends with, you know, it was like, it was less scary to do with a friend.
Yep.
Like I said, when you described it, it sounded so crazy that I just was like, yeah, let's move to another country. But knowing you're going with friends, it like totally makes it an easy choice, you know? So thanks for going with me.
We need to go back together when we're older.
That would be so much fun.
Do you want to? Okay.
Let's try to make
that an option.
Okay.
Coronavirus is over.
Okay. Maybe when coronavirus is over, we can travel again.
I know. Seriously. Okay. So tell the folks listening where they can find you and or your podcast if they want to connect with you.
So if you want to find me, our podcast is called Best Friends Club Podcast. And it's available on Google, Apple, Stitcher, all the things. Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And our Instagram handle is that Best Friends Club Podcast. That is also our email at Gmail and our website. So
easy.
Find me on the interwebs. Oh, and I should actually explain that our podcast is about the TV show Friends. We talk through every episode in order. So hop in at any time. If you're a Friends fan, we talk through each episode and throw in our own anecdotes from time to time. So it's a good time. We host with my friend Ashley, who's also known Taylor since we were 16.
Hey, Ash.
Hey, Ash.
The 239 brought us together.
Yeah, 239 love.
Oh my gosh.
Thanks for having me, Tay. This is so much fun.
Girl, anytime. Okay. So I'm going to leave us with a malaprep of the day. You ready for this, Renee?
I'm so ready. I'm so excited.
I have my word. I'm just trying to think of a sentence. I will never forget the time. I think it was on my 24th birthday. We were standing by the Thames in front of the Tower Bridge, and it was so photographic. Mm-hmm. Wait.
I remember that.
I used it wrong. Damn it. I was going to say it was so photogenic, but it's photogenic, because, like, technically – people are photogenic and the view is photographic, right? Did I say that right?
I think you're just personifying the view.
Dang it.
I think it's fine. What's the word?
Well, it's the fact that people get those two mixed up, photographic, photogenic.
Oh.
Like, if you were using that in a sentence,
oh,
would you say that, like, we were...
I would say
we were photographic. Yeah, we were photographic in the photo and not photogenic.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. I bomb these every time. It's fine.
You could say that it's that you felt like you had a photogenic memory.
Oh, that's a better one.
You have a photogenic memory of that time, but it's a photographic memory of that time.
Thank you, Renee. Appreciate you. This is why I name my podcast Malaprops and Moxie.
Well, and that's why you have friends, because we can figure it out together, right?
Everybody still loves me. All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening, and I will be back for another episode soon. Bye. This episode of Malaprops and Moxie was recorded at the Huga Coworking Podcast Studio. You can find them online at wearehuga.com, and that's spelled H-Y-G-G-E. The music was recorded and produced by Young Citizen. Thanks so much for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and write a review.